I'm Donald Glover, and you are watching or listening to the Post Credit Scene Podcast.
What's going on, guys? How'd you do? How'd you do? Happy Tuesday to the Post Credit Scene listeners. You know the vibes. Post Credit Scene Podcast, the 14HQ original lovers of film, TV, and theatre. Manny, how'd you do?
I'm doing all great, my broski. Just here, living life. Yeah. You can hear everyone. Yeah. I'll be sitting outside with the other mitts on. Fine, my pal. But scuffing is long.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Dubs. You know the vibes. Yes, sir. Huss?
I was living my
I'm doing good. I want to announce a GoFundMe for this podcast. Help me, okay? You'll find a link in the description, all right? It will be Bisola's Monza. And then, yeah, we'll be good to go.
We're not seeing that money.
Why for the GoFundMe?
Let me tell you something right now. You put money in my Monza, and you see me at 32 is brushed down. You funded a lifestyle, baby.
And Jason, how'd you do?
Nah, I'm good. Chilling. Travel here is... travel here was mad, but hey man, all here, good people, good vibes.
Good to see you, man. Oh, and we've got Bisola here as well. Bisola, how'd you do?
Fine.
By the way, I have to get this joke off. With the Monza link, she's going to do what the accused Pigo of.
200k gold!
Early, bro.
It's early. Didn't even buy a bus down.
He can't. No, he isn't.
Yeah, he's a... I don't know what...
He in a car league. He a fucking colonizer.
That's accusing of. I don't know how what Breezy thinks he's done. Anyways.
Yeah.
That's jokes.
I can't wait for Poet to go on the Chucky podcast thing and to be like, yeah, man.
Oh, yeah, Poet is your brother, innit?
No.
Oh, you're dumb.
Yeah, nah, you're... Do you know what? You're evil. Dumb. He's evil.
You're dumb.
Is it
because of what you're thinking of?
I'm actually ashamed because I even answered that before.
Should we ban Rob from the pod?
I thought we'd just like, let it go.
Nah, I knew straight away. Yeah, cotton done, man. That was a good one.
This is the post credit scene podcast.
It's a 14HQ original. Yeah. That was good stuff.
We're going hard today. Say no more.
Yeah.
Hope everyone's well. Tuesday. We don't normally record on Tuesdays, to be fair.
No.
We're saying Tuesday, but it's not coming out on a Tuesday, is it?
So what's the point? Yeah, they're listening to it tomorrow, though, so it's fine.
Okay.
It's coming out on Wednesday, and tomorrow there's also going to be another announcement. There'll be another announcement. Kids, put that shit up.
To be fair, you got blind for that.
Yeah, that's true.
What for having a star?
Yeah.
Because,
it's a disease. Guys, are you saying that?
Wait. I didn't laugh at you.
No.
I'm used to it. It's been 3 years.
Oh, man.
Sometimes it makes me sound like a bit. All right.
Why is she laughing like this? First it was pants on.
Brother.
Oh, man.
If we didn't edit up, brother? One day... We're going to do a compilation of the mad things that Biz has said.
About Sketch?
Yeah, I saw that. Crazy, bro.
Who do you think would have the maddest comp, though?
Yeah, Biz.
Oh, it's come on.
What happened with Sketch? Wait, so guys, can we listen to Jason, please?
You guys didn't see what happened with Sketch?
Oh, you didn't see what happened with Sketch?
They found out that he's a previous OnlyFans gay porn star.
Oh, yeah, someone... Oh, yeah. That's because... what's the sexy one with locks?
Duke.
Max?
Yeah, Duke, yeah. Remember he was on stream basically being like, guys, who really cares?
But apparently...
He did that after Sketch admitted to it. So Sketch went on stream for like 6 minutes, which is the shortest stream ever. And he was like, yeah, guys, that was me. Like, I'm sorry.
You're apologising?
It's mad that he had to apologise.
It was mad that he had to apologise. He was saying that it was like a dark time.
I can't lie, I saw the video and then I was going through the comments.
Which one?
I saw the video of him apologizing.
Guys, we're not going to move past him saying it was a dark
time. I saw the video of him apologizing. So I went through the comments like, what mad thing did you do? What did you do? It's like, bro. Come on, bro. Like, allow it, man.
It's like that one time.
Even if it was 10 times.
It just got a mad traction.
I don't even know what that nigga is.
Okay, just back to him. I love that. Like,
you
I love
probably
that,
would have seen a clip of him on TikTok or something, but you wouldn't clock it with Sketch. Because I only found out after the fact that was
Sketch. Lit, by the way. He's hilarious.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
Well, he's one of my favorites.
Because he's got gay superpowers. That's the reason.
He's one of my favorite creators.
Do you know you're a gay superpower?
But anyway, is that a kid?
You're about to say something.
Kids? Yeah.
Well, I feel like that's why he covered his mic.
You know how crazy
is it? If one of my sister kids can cut out, Bisola, can you relate?
I'm okay, that's the problem. I ain't got superpowers, man.
I have no idea who Sketches.
Oh my god.
Neither do I.
Wait,
I just know he's a streamer.
Can you hold my mic?
What's up, brother? What's up, brother?
No idea.
You've never seen that?
Oh.
No. Special teams.
Nah, bro. They're grown-ups with jobs.
He's hilarious, bro. He's the funniest one in the world.
No, I believe you. Just never.
Honestly, he's so funny.
Go on, sorry.
So what did you want?
Guys. Drink. Look, buy solar.
Nah, bro. Nah, man.
All right. Do you know what?
No, I don't want to laugh.
It's fucking funny. It's, you have
the
to give it to me.
Silence is funnier, but
I can't lie.
This is fucking
weird. Good. It was just I weren't expecting that to be there.
Yeah. You got an occasion for that.
This is so bad.
Do you know a really funny story? So I got a radio drop. Yeah. Oh my gosh, guys, I'm about to name drop from Glorilla.
Oh.
Yeah, and she was.
Huh? Who's that?
Did she ask about me?
Oh, you know who Glorilla is.
Glorilla, man.
Yeah,
the one that thinks she's paying, but she's kind of like.
Oh, come on.
Oh, shut up.
Burst, bro.
What?
It's because you only get light, that's the reason. Fucking Nick. Anyway,
yeah, I forgot. You're a colorist. Huh? You're a colorist.
That's the reason.
I love everybody.
Sure thing.
All lives matter.
That's
anyways.
It.
It's really far out of reach, I'll be honest. Can someone please get the apple juice?
Oh, I thought you were going to bottle them.
Jesus, the apple juice.
Where's the...
Yeah, and she was like, listening to Buy a Solar.
Buy a Solar.
And everyone was like, oh, maybe she knows something we don't.
See?
That was the end of that conversation. And the office was silent after that.
Yeah. No, now you can use the host cut to put it together. You can mix it together on a song.
I don't think I'm going to do that, I'll be honest.
What?
Why are we opening new apple juice? There's still apple juice here, guys.
Well, I just don't know. I just don't know where the other apple juice is.
I think I've hidden it somewhere, guys. But I'm just have to put my feet down. I don't really
know. No, it's fine. We'll just open it. It's fine. Sorry, guys. I know we're going completely off track.
Yeah, this is a horrible start.
I'm really enjoying this, guys.
Feet content for free.
When my toes aren't like that. Think my toes out for real, like. Yeah. Make it really, a show.
The real reason you're after coming apart.
That's why I'm really here for.
Monzo, guys. Monzo, don't forget. Okay.
You say Jason's Larry Strong, yeah.
Oh. Wow.
I don't understand that reference.
Do you know what? That hurts. That's hurtful.
What's the reference? Can someone explain it to me?
Larry Strong from House of the Dragon, the guy that loves feet.
Oh, my man.
Yeah.
Well, I was like, oh, yeah. That was a crazy scene, by the way.
Yo,
I saw someone say, yeah, okay, it's crazier that we've never seen him do it again. I was like, yo, that's actually true.
That crazy?
Because that means it wasn't scripted.
Yeah.
And that's going to be in a hornball. It's kind of like, think about Castillo in Supercell. Some people getting typecast. That nigga got typecast as well.
Did you see this?
Wait, did you see
the
TikTok?
I'm
sorry.
I can't drink anymore.
You had two sips.
She had two glasses.
Honestly, guys, from the bottom of my heart, I was drunk before I got here.
Lit.
Okay, maybe we should.
I think guys are fed up.
No, I'm cool. I'm
just, I am.
Yeah. Yeah. Give the fuck how you feel.
We are now 4 episodes into House of the Dragon season 2. We were all highly anticipating the series. Yeah. Is that fair to say?
Correct, I was.
Yeah, why so?
Didn't even ask me that.
Yeah, he's being smart, so yeah.
Yeah. Because I liked Game of Thrones, really. That was just the truth. And I enjoyed season 1 a lot. And I was excited to see what season 2 brought.
Mm-hmm. Season 1 ended with a climatic scene at Storm's End, I believe it was. So we saw Lyseris and Aemon versus and Arrax and Vhagar, which obviously then played into season 2. So I think firstly we'll break down episode 4 because it was the recent one we saw. And it was the most recent to memory. And then maybe we'll go back and look at the previous 3 episodes. Jace, you had a lot of emotions in our group chat this morning. You came in bursting into the group chat. Is there a pause necessary? No, there isn't. Talk to me about your thoughts on episode 4, because you seem like quite excited to talk about the episode.
No. I mean, do you know what? Because this is my first kind of like foray.
Oh, yeah,
I
for
guess
the people that don't
before,
know.
Yeah, I'm not
no,
a great
fan. We need to quantify the fact that you haven't watched Game of Thrones.
It's not been before.
Yeah, I've watched the first season, didn't think it was for me.
You haven't been to the North.
I haven't been to the North, but I feel like I'm getting there.
You're a Westerosi boy, bro.
Nah, he's not even, he's like Dawn or something.
Nah, he hasn't seen Dawn yet, bro. He's
Westerosi. Anyway, bunch of references that I don't know. I was like, mouth was wide open, pause.
Crazy.
Do you know what phrases you're supposed to go
through? No, because I think
he started as well. This all I snore like 17 times today.
Because
we recorded for 20 minutes.
No, I think that's the only way to describe it. We're obviously deep dive into it, right? Yeah. But like the death flags over Rhaenyra's.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rhaenyra's were all over kind of like the episode where, okay, where she was like, yo, I'm going to go to, where was it that they went, the place?
Rook's Rest.
Yeah.
Rook's Rest.
Rook's Rest. Rook's Rest. And kind of like, I knew she was going to die. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know how she was going to die.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, like, I think we'll, okay, I don't want to speak about the scene too much because we'll, I want to break it down as a group. But I just think the production quality of the fucking show is amazing.
Top two.
I think it's super, far surpassed Game of Thrones in that regard. Mm-hmm.
Because they have less to, really? They have less to do. Because it's all, it's all focused on one house, as opposed to like,
yeah, fair
even
enough,
a set design and history of that 20 different houses.
Yeah, now the fucking like the production is insane. Even like the way the dragons are,
digital effects and whatnot.
Yeah, digital effects and stuff like that. I just thought, like, I was just in awe of it, man. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, this is some fantastic TV.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's been interesting because a lot of the conversation from certain aspects of the fan base has been like, oh, it's quite slow and it's boring and it's a lot of dialogue and politics, which is like, for me personally, some of the reasons why I love House of the Dragon and obviously Game of Thrones. That's what I got into the series for. And obviously as the series goes on in terms of Game of Thrones, it got a lot more climatic and sort of grand scale and epic. And a lot of people have been waiting for this sort of big battle to come. And I think we finally got it because the one we got in episode 10 of season one, it wasn't a battle. Yeah. like Vhagar just completely destroyed Arrax and Lyseris. Mm-hmm. So this was the first time I think we've actually seen a fair battle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for me, obviously, we're going to get there in the end. This was the best battle of dragons that we've seen across both universes in terms of
100%.
House of the Dragon.
It's only at four.
So, yeah, yeah, we've got four to go. But unfortunately, it's only four. So it's going to be eight episodes this season. A lot of that.
I'm not mad at that.
What's that, sorry?
I'm not mad at that.
Okay, yeah, it just depends on how it goes, right? Yeah. The pacing so far has been very, very good. Something we discussed before, actually, is the difference in pacing. Because I think we spoke yesterday, you slightly changed your mind in terms of you've kind of started to appreciate the pacing of season two a bit more.
I think I appreciate it because more's happening, but also I didn't know that it was the pacing it was at until Alicent said.
Yeah, yeah, you mentioned.
Because Alicent said, it's been weeks since my husband's died. And I'm like, wait, then I got only died, what, like 14 days ago? Mm. It's not years on or like months on at least. Mm-hmm. That's why I was like, oh, I think I'm just enjoying the storyline. I don't think I'm enjoying the pacing. I think it's a storyline.
Okay, yeah, cool.
I think like I stepped on it.
Okay, cool.
Also, can I ask everyone a question, please?
Yeah, of course.
Can we go around the room? Can everyone tell me their opinions, Alison? You were like,
so
she's getting boring.
So, you want to go first?
Why did you take his role for?
Go ahead, you go first.
To be fair, you ain't put it four times, or so you're
yeah.
No, you're itching.
So go. Yeah, go.
Let the system go out. Come out.
George Bush.
George Bush don't care about black people.
So Sam, Alison.
I said, let the tism come out.
Alison,
you spectrumed off as well. You spectrumed off.
No, you're spectrumed off, right?
Yeah, no, that's not.
Alison,
she is a conniving whore bag.
I mean,
continue on, yeah.
Yeah, okay, go on.
Cool, just beat me, man, you know. Kids, keep it in. I just think it was, I just think she's, like, she's, I don't get her. Like, in the first season, okay, even though she was a lot more sly, she was getting manipulated by her dad, blah, blah, blah. But also, at times towards the end, okay, it looked like she had her head on straight for what she thinks is straight and was doing her thing, right? Whereas like now, in this season, I think it's the opposite. The more the season goes on, at the start, she seemed like she was like yeah. Whereas as the episodes go on, she's just making more and more mistakes or becoming
happy. I thought that speaks to great writing for the character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's actually now having to deal with a lot of sort of turmoil situations. Obviously, Jaehaerys passing away, for example, one of the bigger ones. And obviously, the series seems to be alluding to the idea that she might be pregnant. Or was pregnant at the time.
So. Oh, what?
Yeah, she turned that child off.
Oh, 1 billion percent.
She said in the fourth episode, she mentions to Aegon. She says like, I ruled for so long while your dad was ill and blah, 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 right? And then in that second, I was like, wait a minute, let me look back at the last three episodes. You're comparing ruling for like 10 years while he was on his deathbed compared to the 14 days that you're ruling now. You're in panic mode, okay? You don't have to shit because Viserys was he the thing of peace or whatever it was?
Yeah, he was more peaceful, innit?
He was so peaceful.
Yeah, that was
the realm.
Mm-hmm.
holding hands. Do you understand? Even though the hands might have been with spikes,
yeah,
they were holding hands. So the protecting that she had to do was niche. Whereas now that the realm was like at each other, she's realizing to rule is not an easy job.
But she's not ruling.
Yes, but because she hasn't got a peaceful king,
plays into that. So
no,
it's all good, bro.
I'm on the spot. All right, cool. No, I was going to say, like, just on Huz's point in the sense of, like, the reason why she was ruling. Obviously, I think it was never going to be peaceful because, like, the entire beef is just about who sits on the throne, isn't it?
But she's not handling the war well. She's not handling her son's war.
No, of course. But like, I think because of
up to? Sorry.
Yeah, you mean they're being menaces.
It's not me.
They're being menaces. You know, like in church, you've got like these bad kids in the back. That's what these men are doing.
I was listening to what I'm saying. She kept doing nonsense.
I go to the mosque.
But I tried to laugh away from the mic.
So I don't know. Is it the same in the mosque as well?
Stop doing that.
Yeah, Jay, scum, my boy.
No, I was going to say because, like, obviously, we have now found out, like, that. Like, I mean, the reason why this whole beef is starting is because Alicent misunderstood the late king. Yeah, well, I don't know.
Okay,
but, like,
guys,
now she's
all right. Everyone, let me speak. It's
no,
really
let me
important.
You
okay.
Ask the question. Let me add.
Have you not spoken yet?
No, I have not.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, sorry, all that. it's hard for me to actually fully dislike Alicent because I do feel like she's a product of her environment. Especially in in the first season.
Sex season. Oh my God, I'm kind of moved by Alicent.
It's
right
a bit of you.
Huh?
It's a bit of you.
Yeah.
In the first season, she was obviously very upset in terms of what Rhaenyra did in terms of like breaking her oath and not essentially being the queen or being the princess that she's meant to be. And Alicent's kind of be like fairly hypocritical in terms of what she does now. And we get like parallel scenes in terms with Rhaenyra's drinking the I think milk or poppy or something like that in the first season to essentially abort a child because she might have been pregnant.
It's for tea. It's the tea.
Which obviously was for abortion in terms of because she might be pregnant because of Kristen Cole.
Gave it to the girl that as well.
Yes. Yes. And then we see a similar scene with Alicent doing the same thing, drinking that tea again, essentially because she thinks that she might be pregnant, as you mentioned before. And we kind of see like the constant parallels between Alicent and Rhaenyra in terms of like the mentality there was, but in just different stages of their lives. And in terms of like talking about Alicent's currently making mistakes, it's because her will has faltered in terms of like previously she knew what she was about and what she was doing. She felt like she was doing the right thing, the honourable thing in terms of being by Viserys' side. But even though she was groomed into, well, let me not quote groom, but she was groomed into the position that she was in. But now that she's no longer doing the honourable thing, and she also now realises that she made a mistake in terms of putting Aegon on the throne when she now realises that was definitely a mistake and it was definitely more about the Song of Ice and Fire rather than the will of Viserys. She's kind of faltered, and that's where the mistakes are coming from, is because she's not strong-willed as she was before, because she's not sure in terms of what she's doing at the moment.
I mean, you saw at the end of episode 3 as well, after the conversation between Rhaenyra and Alicent in the church, where she was like, my bro, you're an idiot. You misunderstood what Viserys was talking about. And you could see her in her face where she kind of like clocks at herself where it's like, oh shit. He was talking about the Song of Ice and Fire.
People have now.
Okay, here's my thing. Yeah, here's my thing.
Yeah.
So I'm Team Black through and through, yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like when we discuss, especially when on like Gaz's Lives and stuff, yeah, when we're discussing Team Green, we have a lot of like sympathy or empathy or understanding. I think understanding is the word for the Boy Kings, yeah. Or just the kids, they're like, they're little shits. They're not actually not good people at all. They've actually been, I'm sure that they've got really poor characters. Whereas Alicent, like, being like, oh, she misunderstood. She only knows what she knows. Like, why would she know the story or like, of Song of Ice or whatever? Like, why would she know that stuff? She was a child groomed into a position of like, basically a queen.
Yeah.
Not that she's not meant to know, but why would she know?
Yeah.
So, but her misunderstanding things is inevitable because she was never meant to know it. Like,
yeah.
That was never her position or her role to play as the queen or the queen that's looking after like the king that's dying. So
Queen consort,
yeah. I'm like, she needs grace. She needs to be given grace. Like I'm not going to lie, she's not a great mum, but I wouldn't expect a child to be a great mum.
Yeah.
Like, she's not going to be a great mum. And her kids are awful people and she is at fault for that as well. But there needs to be more understanding and more hate towards Otto. Otto is literally the reason this all exists.
He's
the worst human being. Like, he actually, and that he's, don't get me wrong, he's a great hand to the king, but he's also an awful dad.
Yeah.
He's an awful grandfather. Like, his little conversation he has with Aegon. Is it Aegon? Yeah, Aegon.
Yeah.
When he kind of, like, he stops being hand of the king and suddenly reminds that, well, I also, like, pretty much put you on this earth. Like, you're still my offspring. How dare you act the way you're acting? It's like, so now you know what it means to be a present dad or a grandfather or a carer for someone. It's like, these times you're sending your 15-year-old or 13-year-old to go sleep with your bestie. Yeah. Bro, what the heck is going on?
I think she definitely deserved grace in terms of, like, in the positions that she was in. But one of the things that I do have an issue with Alison is the constant hypocrisy that she had towards her former best friend. It is because, like, she was crying and screaming. And the reason why they fell out is because she felt like Rhaenyra was being dishonourable. And she's now doing the exact same thing.
It's not the exact same thing. Like, I love Rhaenyra, but she also was married and shagging someone else and not having purebred kids. The whole thing was about having purebred kids and she wasn't doing that. That's the last. That's all it is. It's not like,
no, it was from the time she was sleeping with Sir Christian Cole. It was, from that, it was from that moment she had an issue with what she was doing.
The first thing was more when she found out that Rhaenyra sneaked off with Daemon. But obviously Alicent lied and said Rhaenyra lied and said, no, you know, it wasn't that, nothing happened between me and Daemon. Obviously she later found out that wasn't the case, and I think that was like the seeds. But obviously the tension between those two was building throughout the series, because I think Alicent was always quite resentful of the freedom that Rhaenyra was given in comparison to her, whereas Alicent was essentially, as we said, sort of pimped off to King Viserys. So I think that's been building between them. And then obviously the behaviour of those two kind of led to the situation that they're in. I think Alicent deserves grace for sure. I think when you are pimped off at 14 years of age, it's unfair.
Yeah.
It's not right.
Yeah.
I think when you reach adulthood, obviously it's hard to unlearn some of your behaviours, right? And what
exactly
you
do as a child,
so on and so forth. But you're still a parent, and I still think you can be held accountable for your offspring because it's yours. And I think Aegon and Aemon are partly who they are because of her and Viserys. It's not just her. Mm. Her, Viserys, and also are all partly at fault for the person that those two kids have turned out to be. So, yeah, that's my thoughts on Alicent.
And also, Aegon is a father as well. I feel like he's a shitty dad as well.
That scene of
the one before he gets his head chopped off at the High Council, and he's like misbehaving, and then Aegon's kind of like, how dare you talk to the king like that, or the king to be?
Yeah.
Instead of correcting his behaviour.
Oh, Tywin Lannister.
Yeah, we know exactly how he's going to turn out.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, the fact that we can't forgive Alicent for her past transgressions as a shit parent, but we could be like, oh yeah, the kids, like, oh, they're kids.
Yeah.
Like, he's still a dad.
I do appreciate how they showcase how shitty each parent is by generation. There was even a scene,
if you comp that though to Rhaenyra,
yeah,
and how she is with Jace and how she's with Viserys and Joffrey.
Even Baelor to an extent.
Yeah, she loves Baelor. I think if you look at the comp, it's a trickle down effect of how your parents treated you and how you passed that down, right?
Yeah, because Viserys treated her really well. She became a good parent. But there's a scene, like, I think it was the episode one, where Aemon comes into the room with Helaena and her two children, and he doesn't know which one is the son. And then we even look at, I think it's the end of episode three, or at the end of episode two, when we see that Alicent is talking to Otto, and she tells him, I've sinned. Like, I want to confess my sins to you.
I don't want to know.
And then literally the next moment is that Alicent walks off and goes into Aegon's room, sees Aegon crying, and instead of confronting her son, she walks away. I really love, that's probably my favourite scene of the season so far, because it just showcases how generation from generation, they are awful parents because of how they were treated by their parents. I just really enjoyed that
scene.
I also
believe Otto is a second son, which speaks to, like, something I want to speak about. The curse of the second son, and how second sons are quite envious of the primary heirs, if you like, and how you end up grasping for ambition and power because you haven't been given that sort of ascension and that right to be.
You see an Aemond as well.
You see Aemond.
I'm a second son.
Yeah, Aemond and Daemon, actually. Yeah.
You're dumb.
Why would you set yourself like that?
What do you mean? I don't get.
You have to be ambitious, otherwise you wouldn't be doing this podcast, bro.
Oh. Yeah, that got real.
It speaks to your ambition. It's a good thing.
Thank you, man.
You've channeled that it got in real, a, real. In a I'm not gonna lie.
Thank you. See?
The fairly okay.
Yeah. Don't like sketch, if you know, you know.
Don't like sketch.
Come on.
But as I was saying, I think this episode in the series so far has been like building up the tension for the payoff of Rhaenys, right? Because some of the previous unalivings in the series or the deaths haven't necessarily hit me as much as Thrones would have done. So, for example, Viserys passing away. It was shocking, but it didn't move me.
Yeah.
Rhaenys, Luceris. My bad. Apologies.
That's fine.
Wait, which one? The kid or the king?
Luke.
The kid,
end of season one.
Luceris and
okay, Luceris.
Yeah. Luceris and Arax.
But do you think it doesn't hit you as much because we didn't get to spend as much time with these characters?
It's literally why. When you compare it to what we saw at the end of this episode, it's starkly different. But we'll start with the start of the episode. Daemon and Harrenhal. One of my favourite aspects of the series has been Harrenhal as a whole. And the production value is just so, so good. It's given that sort of spooky, haunted, dark, gloomy feel, which kind of encapsulates Daemon's sort of mindset at this moment in time.
Yeah, and a lot
of hallucinations
demons
that he's having and the nightmares and the sort of...
Right, could
literally fighting his demons.
What have you made of Daemon in season two so far and then obviously this episode? That's obviously...
He's going through a lot, man.
Yeah?
He's going through a lot.
And do you sympathise or empathise with him?
Do you know every time... what I was thinking about is, okay, in season one, every time he was going through something, we saw 5% of it and then he was actually gone for like two episodes. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
He runs away a lot.
Yeah. Or he's like banished or whatever it is.
He gets banished a lot.
Exactly.
So like, so we never actually see him go through what he's going through, and then as soon as we're introed to him, he's got a plan. Do you know what I'm saying? The first time was when he became the King's Guard, right? And then he dips, okay, and then he goes to the Stepstones, comes back, he's won the Stepstones,
so he's got his thing.
Cool. Then he gets banished again, right? And then he goes, and then he marries the Sea Snake's daughter, right?
Lena.
Yeah.
But before that, he was married to Rhea Royce, right?
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
so five, and he offed her.
Yeah. So he offed her, married her, moved to Pentos because he didn't want to be...
He didn't want to be in the politics. Like, I love that aspect. Yeah. I really enjoyed that, yeah.
But we didn't get to see that journey of him thinking that through, right? He just goes. And then we see him at the end of it, which is like...
Two kids.
20 minutes later. Okay, do you know what I'm saying? Okay. Then he comes back here, and there's the whole thing of the whole king queen. Da, 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 da. So every time we see him in season one, we know that he's going through something, but we never see him deal with it.
Yeah.
Whereas in season two, we're seeing him deal with it.
Yeah.
Like, we're seeing him actually, like there's nowhere to go where the cameras are here. Do you know what I mean? Like Harrenhal's got CCTV everywhere. You know what I'm saying? So, like, he's and what I read, okay, in the books, but what I read, okay, is that he might have the sight, which a lot of like Targaryens and Valyrians,
which
have
is something he's always sort of thought of. He's thought of any sort of ideas of dreams and visions and being a
something. Hates that. Hates that.
Whereas Viserys was all in on it, right? So it's quite interesting. Yeah. Sort of.
Because obviously he based everything off like the histories, Aegon's dream. Who was the king before Aegon? Not Jaehaerys. The king before Aegon, there was a king. I forgot his name, but he had a dream as well. So there was a king before Aegon who had a dream of the doom of Valyria, and then Aegon had a dream of Eyes of Fire where everything's gonna fucking die. And then it said that that the sight has passed down from Targaryens to Targaryens. We see it in Game of Thrones when Daenerys is in the Hall of the
Undead. I remember, yeah.
And she's like, whoa, my God, da, 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 da. Do you know what I'm saying? So, like...
Great scene, by the way.
Dickhead.
That was really good.
So like, what he's going through at the start, I was like, rah, like, this guy's got some PTSD. Maybe he's, like, learning because he's actually done some fucked up shit because he's becoming almost like Otto in a sense where he doesn't trust a woman, what it seems like to lead this charge, right? And he's trying to lead it, but trying to be respectful because he's a Targaryen, not because she can lead, if that makes sense. But what I'm seeing now is maybe...
But what do you make of those visions? I think the first one we saw was, again, the younger Rhaenyra, and he keeps having visions of particularly her rather than the older version that he's wafted off to. So.
Yeah, questionable. I'm not going to lie. That
was a contractual thing for the actor. I think she has...
Millie Alcott. she's really good, by the way.
She's dope. No, but I actually think it's because he's becoming... Well, I think the visions are to relate him to his brother, not to her. I think it was the point of being like, your history, your heritage is what means everything. Do you understand? So the fact that his favorite person growing up was her, right? And she's holding the baby that he just killed, you know? And that's their heritage. Like, no matter how we put it.
That was from the episode 3, right? That vision he had,
Yeah. And they've said this 1,000 times, right? So that at the end of this, okay, and Rhaenyra, she's trying to avoid it where dragons are all dead and obviously Targaryens are all dead. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that, as we know from the start of the books, is that the only thing that can kill Targaryens or get rid of Targaryen reign is themselves.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I find it interesting. I'm really enjoying sort of seeing into his sort of mindset in the series so far, which is a far cry from what he was like in season one, sorry.
Yeah.
It's been really cool just to get an insight into some sort of humanity and that he can compute some of his past in this film, even though he still carries on behaving the same way.
I would actually disagree, actually. I don't think he's necessarily computing. I think it's just kind of like, you know, the straw breaking the camel's back in the sense of like, he is, I think, like the conversation, because I do think he is... not in love. He does love Rhaenyra's, and when she kind of like Rhaenyra, my bad, and when she kind of like hotted him up about like, bro, you killed a ute. Like, we don't do assassinations out here and stuff like that. And he was like, no. I was trying to kill Aemond. And she goes, bro, I think it was kind of like, because we see Daemon as somebody who tackles problems head on.
Yeah.
Like, he, like, when there's a scrap,
it's normally confrontation.
He's always up for confrontation. You're gone?
He killed her little brother, technically.
Not quite.
Half brother, no?
No, not quite.
Wait, no.
That's not her brother.
It'd be just a cousin.
That's her niece.
Niece.
How was it her niece?
Her niece or nephew.
Because Aegon is her brother.
Oh, yeah, because Aegon is the dad.
Aegon's the brother, so that's her niece. Or nephew, sorry. Yeah.
Not quite, almost that though.
No, but...
Aegon calls his wife his sister wife. That's crazy.
Well, I mean, because that is his sister and his wife.
That's Targs, man. That's what they're on.
So, I didn't, anyway.
I'm going to, the incest is really unsettling.
I'm over it.
Because in Game of Thrones, yeah, obviously, like, the twins are shagging, but that's a secret. Like, there was almost a level of shame in that, yeah? Oh, you didn't finish episode one of Game of Thrones. The twins are shagging. They pushed Bran out the thing. Bran's like a raven. Anyways, yeah.
So. You are a hard R. That's what you are. A hard R.
It's good to see his name.
Anyway.
Yeah, so that's pretty much the premise of Game of Thrones, by the way. So that's almost like it's shunned a bit. Like, you can date someone that you're related to, your cousin and stuff, but your direct sibling, it felt a bit like...
I'm at the point now where I'm like, why aren't they marrying them? They're brother and sisters. Yeah, okay, yeah. Like, literally, like, yo, I actually get it. And
why would you agree with them?
I think he's talking about it from the perspective.
Are you sure you want to defend this?
Wait, what does that?
Is that the hill you guys want to die on?
I mean, I'm not dying on it. It's just
they should be marrying their own now, bro. They've convinced me. In movie world.
He's been convinced.
Okay, but it's not real life.
In the context of A Song of Ice and Fire. In the context of A Song of Ice and Fire, it makes complete sense.
We've been watching this since like 2011.
You know,
but then what's so funny, it makes sense for Targaryen blood. It made no sense for Lannisters.
None. That's not the point I was trying to make.
But not Dragon Riders. If you're a dragon rider,
now I see where you're coming from.
It's
still awful.
Yeah, it's still awful.
It's still bad.
At least they're your cousin, but like, your direct sibling, like, brother.
No, it makes sense.
Sibling, I can almost. A different house, at least. At least.
Anyways, so you're making a point.
Was he really making a point?
I was. My point is, okay, is there's even a bit, okay, in season one, okay, with Viserys, okay,
yeah,
where he talks about how like the Targaryen like thing, like bloodline, right? Mm-hmm. And it, if it gets to a certain point, okay, like every now and again, I don't know how he words it, right, but there's like a battle spring.
Mm-hmm. A mad one. It's always meant to be like the third child.
Exactly, yeah. Right, because they keep doing the whole thing. I guess that's George R. R. Martin's version of, like, if we do incest in real life, then your kid might have...
Third child is always meant to end up killing the mother, but that's not just about offsprings, because Tyrion killed his mum, who was the third child. Chancellor killed his... somebody... But yeah, there's definitely a trend in terms of, like, the third child meant to be... But yeah. But anyways, sorry, but...
I think third children are really great.
Yeah. Okay.
One of the things you mentioned it earlier when you spoke about Rhaenys and the scene. I think
Rhaenys?
What they did really well in this series so far is giving us more time with Rhaenys. Eve Bess is incredible.
I love her.
And obviously the scene with Alan. And obviously they alluded to the fact that Corlys was a bad boy at some point in life.
Yeah.
Yeah, with his son.
What did you guys make of that scene?
Okay, yeah.
You interviewed Abu Salim.
I was actually speaking.
I did.
I'm actually speaking. So, on the boat.
We don't have white hair no more. We don't see it as a Targaryen. Any beige with pink hair.
I didn't snort.
We need a snort counter.
I actually didn't snort. We can do a counter, but I didn't snort. Anyways, on the boat, what's the name of the ute?
Alan,
yeah. Really, that's his name? Yeah. So then everyone's Viserys, Valyrian. They're called Allen.
No, it's
Allen.
Short for something.
Allen. He's not a Targaryen or Valyrian, really. By not by blood anyway. Well, by blood, but not by name. Sorry, my bad.
Obviously, he wasn't raised by his
basically
Valyrian.
Yeah.
The bald guy, right?
Yeah.
I think new prediction. He's gonna have real. Don't tell me if you read a bit. I don't care. He's gonna be really important. He's gonna be our Baelor for the Mandem.
Do you think he's gonna be a dragon rider?
I think something's gonna come out of him that like we don't expect.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I don't actually know, by the way.
But Baelor, I'm telling you guys, Baelor's gonna lead us to the promised land.
Okay.
But she's dying though. For sure.
I fucking hate this boy so much.
No, I have no idea. I have.
But I can't lie, I'm assuming that literally every single one of them is going to die.
Well, what I do know, okay, is that in the books, there's 18 dragons, which there's not in.
Yeah, it won't be in the series.
But in the books, there's 18 dragons, and there's 54 Targaryens and Valyrians, and only two dragons and two Targaryens and Valyrians.
Is that because of what's it called? Is it Blackwood, like the bastards that also were dragon riders?
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay.
So. Only two survive from each, but I don't think that they're gonna do that at all.
Yeah, but Corlys and Rhaenys has been like probably the one relationship in the series that you can say is like somewhat
healthy.
They were solid up until that point, and
even to that point
was so controlled.
No,
she was quite understanding.
Solid in the context of what everybody else's relationship was.
You see Oh, you're talking to the wrong person.
Nah, but go on. No. Go. You were pointing at me. Talk to me.
House Dragons. You see Game of Thrones. Season 1, episode 2.
God, no. No one knows.
Rob
and Ned are traveling from King's Landing to... Sorry, they're traveling from Winterfell to King's Landing, right? And they stop in the road, and they're having a chat. And then he talks about his sister that obviously got hard and that, okay, and stuff.
That's not really the phrase you use. Just hard. Hard is kind of crazy. Oh, he's
saying
the sister's like a nigger.
Well, with that, okay, like he talks about how Rob, sorry, what's it, Rob? What's his name? Okay, Ned says that his wife hates
Jon Snow. Yeah.
Jon Snow, blah blah blah. And then Rob consoles him and says, "Yo, we were at war, right? We were at war for years, and we didn't know when we were ever
things happen.
Back. Yeah. So like, no one blames you, right?" It's the same theory, and she's just understanding, whereas Catelyn is like, nah, that's my guy. Why is he doing other things?
Catelyn was fairly understanding.
Catelyn was fuming!
But she was more understanding in a sense. She took all her problems out on Jon Snow.
Yeah.
Bro, Catelyn was fuming,
she
bro.
She didn't take her issues out on Ned like that.
I think what the difference is between this situation is that, bro, he brought Jon Snow home to the family.
Yeah.
That's what the difference would have been.
And more importantly, Jon Snow wasn't even his bastard.
But he brought Jon Snow home. Spoiler alert. Okay.
As soon as you said that, I looked at it.
You're not going to watch it, but like, Jon Snow's not even his bastard.
But no, he brought...
Yeah, but she didn't know that.
But he brought...
Oh, yeah, because he's like a Targaryen.
Yeah, he's Targaryen.
He literally brought Jon Snow home because he's the last one he fought. He was the last Targaryen.
No, he brought Jon Snow home because that was his sister's son.
Yeah.
I don't think that had nothing to do with it.
That had nothing to do with it.
You would have left him for dead.
It could have been a Tyrell.
I'd say we'll lie to that.
Yeah, well,
it could have been half Lannister. He would have brought him back.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with it.
Because he loved his sister.
He would have killed him, sorry.
No, okay.
I think one of the scenes that that comes up next is obviously back at Dragonstone, where Rhaenyra's still travelling back from King's Landing.
Yeah.
And we get to see how...
Her son. Yeah,
what, Jace? Yeah, I really appreciate.
I really liked him.
Yeah,
I think that's.
He's been the for me personally, apart from
Rhaenys.
He's been my favorite character.
I really like him. The sword hold. Do you want to do this?
Mom, where have you been?
I've waited all night for you.
But what I love so much.
You want to come home at this time? No, just before that happens, though, we see. Rhaenyra's council, sorry, and how sort of they're clawing for power.
Yeah.
And how misogynistic and restless they are for this.
They're all white.
And the funniest thing is they don't have dragons. You're not dragon riders yet. You're telling the people that are dragon riders that you need to go out and essentially potentially lose your dragons. And the only person that they respect in that room is when Corlys walks in.
Bastards, bro. I can't lie. Bastards.
Everybody's gangster until a real gangster walks in the room. Like, even Rhaenys, like, that's what happened.
Even Rhaenys, who's a dragon rider, they were still somewhat like not susceptible to listening to what she was saying.
It was when Baylor was speaking and they were kind of like, Baylor was like, well, I had the dragon. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, talk to them, bro.
Yeah, really, because who's on what? Like, who's actually on what?
Honestly.
Behave yourself, man.
If she was... What? No, I was going to say...
You know, your student is, you're so wayward. We all had an internal panic a bit.
For once, I didn't.
My God. I was going to say...
You had an internal panic as well? Yeah.
I was going to say...
I was worried for a second.
One of the only people in the room, in both House Green and Black, that I genuinely hope she's the last one standing. Like, I genuinely hope...
Guys, I'm telling you, she's going to lead us to the promised land.
At the end, okay, she's like got like 10 dragons to do this.
Now, Baylor's been really cool. I've enjoyed Baylor and Jace this season. I think they've both been great.
Yeah, definitely.
I think because we're
they're going to end up getting married?
You don't want to ship it?
No, man. I'm not really not on shipping step siblings, man. Brother, man.
I'm down, down.
I mean, I forgot that
they're luckily, step-siblings. But they're actually not related. They're the first ones.
They're not step siblings.
But I really like their platonic relationship. I think
smash it.
I know, brother, I know eventually they're going to smash because that's how it works, But. I'm enjoying how they speak to each other. And like when she was I think she was
Crowbar.
Yeah. And there was talking about their dads. And then she kind of like, how is Lord Bennett as well?
Yeah.
She kind of alludes to like Cole being.
No, she says how strong.
Yeah.
Like she asked
her. Robin strong as a blah, blah, blah. Then she says, I was my.
What's the younger daughter called again?
Rhaenyra.
Love her too, man. She's dope.
What did you like about Rhaenyra? That was in episode, I think, 3. She got sent to
I like that she asked questions. I love the fact.
And they're a bit like their dad.
Yeah.
Like, she's so inquisitive, right? And, like, she knew that she had to go away for her duty and do her job. And obviously, we now know, spoiler alert, dickhead, we now know that her job of taking those dragon eggs was a wider image, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because obviously, you know, like what she done, she at that time, she doesn't know how important it is, but she does it with chess because she's like, I have to do this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I love that.
Again, speaking to what Gaz said in terms of like people mentioning that the season's been a bit too slow and everybody just wants their big battles, what I do really appreciate, what I really love most about House of the Dragon and Game of Thrones is the characterization and the character interactions that we get quite a lot in terms of like we get scene to scene, just showcasing how characters feel and how they react to things. Throughout the episode 3, I think throughout episode 3, Rhaenys did not want to go to, didn't want to get sent off. It's like, why? Because I'm not a dragon rider, so and so forth.
Oh, Rhaenyra.
Didn't want to go. Yeah. But once she had that that conversation with Rhaenys, she was like, oh,
Rhaenyra.
Bloody
hell. Bro, Rhaenys, Rhaenyra.
Bro, it's... And I'm telling you, there's one random black guy called Alan.
Easy to remember. But now we know who we're talking about.
He's actually not meant to be black. So the series is trying to do some inclusivity and...
Which I don't mind. Yeah. But yeah, the conversation was Rhaenyra right next to the four dragon eggs.
The wigs.
In terms of like just highlighting what Hushy says, and highlighting the importance of you having to look after these eggs. Mm-hmm. Again, it shows so much character in terms of...
It's the future of the Targaryen.
Yeah, it's like...
She's just preserving the bloodline.
Yeah, and for her, it's clicking that, okay, this is an important
and
job
it's making
for
the most
me to
of
do.
Of her, you could argue not to be rude, but her skill set. Baylor is a dragon rider, and naturally she's able to do that. You aren't a dragon rider as it stands, but you can still be of use.
Bro, deep
making,
it.
Making the best use you have of the people around you.
Yeah.
Bro, like deep it. In theory, Rhaenyra... gave her 6 dragons, 3 small ones, and 3 eggs. Sorry, 6 more eggs. Understand?
Like, she has 6
eggs. Only 3 hatched, obviously.
No, I thought she was given 4 eggs.
4 eggs.
Oh, 4 eggs. Sorry, 4. Yeah, and only 3 hatched, right?
What happened to the 4th one?
No one knows.
Yeah. Not all of them hatch, right? I thought.
No, I know 3 of them hatch, because obviously they hatch with.
Daenerys. Yeah.
But the 4th one, no one knows what happened to it.
I don't know.
Yeah. And really, season 9.
Doesn't her brother try and he tries to basically open it before it's time? There's a scene about her brother trying to connect with the eggs Viserys. And it fucks up.
Oh.
Is her brother named Viserys?
Yeah.
I know, man.
What?
They do.
That bum bitch is called Viserys.
These inbreed bastards, yeah.
Yeah. He's a piece of shit.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Correct me if I'm wrong, but he tries to do something with the eggs and it fucks up.
Yeah.
And then
right.
She walks out of the thing with walks out the fire naked, and she's like, all the eggs are hatched.
That was way after. One, yeah. That was episode 8.
He got given his crown a few episodes later, right?
Nah.
No, the kind of thing happens.
I don't remember.
She doesn't walk out of the fire. She walks out of the hot tub because it's like boiling hot.
No, yeah, because he can feel the fire, but she can't feel the fire.
Yeah. Correct.
See, I was so confused. Yeah. Okay, this is just Game of Thrones like trivia for you guys, and tell me if I'm wrong. Are they not fireproof then?
Yeah.
Not every Targaryen, and it is.
So how come is Daenerys was, because she was in burning hot water and it was completely fine.
And she was also in a fire.
Yeah, she was in a fire and walked out, and her brother couldn't do it.
Because it's not. Sorry. Let me reword. It's not all of them. Okay. It's the pure lines, right? So it's like, for example, like if you're like Targaryen, okay, mm-hmm. then in theory, okay, you are. Like you're,
I don't think that's the case.
But her brother was the same thing, though.
But her and her brother have the same blood.
You have the blood of the dragon.
But her and her brother have the same blood.
That's what I was asking.
He's a bitch ass nigga, fam.
Bro, they have the same blood.
He didn't even have any theory to back you up. You sold me, you know. I was listening to what you were saying.
No, I'm telling you, bro. You know what? I wish I read more of the books.
No, it's not the case, because her and her brother have the same blood. There's definitely something in it.
Look at where all that reading got you. But nowhere.
There's definitely like a. Like mythological.
Mm.
Yeah. All of them. It's
not based on. It's not like, obviously you have to be Targaryen blood, but it's not just based on, you have like, she has the same blood as.
So is she Targaryen? I thought she's Valyrian as well.
Who? Daenerys. No, she's Targaryen.
Fun fact: Valyrians got essentially colonized by the Targaryens, and that's why they have a lot of. That's why they can. So Valyrians are the original dragon riders, okay?
Yeah.
And then Targaryens came in and said, "Yo, you're my kind of pen, you know, so no more." And then just done their thing.
No, they only just used to live in the same place.
Well, I didn't, okay? Targaryens.
It's true. He said, "Well, I."
Bro, it's true. Targaryens went into Valyria. Okay. And were like, "Yo, yeah, let's work together." Da, 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 da. Okay, done their thing. And then Aegon had his dream about Valyria.
Aegon the Conk.
Doom. No, the one before that, okay? That there was going to be like a big thing of doom. So he moved out the Targaryens and said, "Yo, we're not going to be here for when it blows up," mm-hmm. right? They were like, "Go then." It blew up. Valyrian said, "Yo, we the home." So when they went to Dragonstone, and from Dragonstone, that's why the sea snake and that.
Corlys.
Yeah, it's so close to Dragonstone because they gave them like that land. So the remaining
the history
Valerians
is mad interesting
are
for
in
sure.
that land, yeah. and then boom. Then Aegon the Conqueror then obviously went on his conquest because he had a dream of Song and Ice and Fire,
supported by his two wives, by the way,
two sisters. Right?
Yeah.
He then leaves east, so like, you know, like Pentos and Dorne, da da da. He leaves them, man, okay, and comes to Westeros and discovers Westeros and the North.
He did discover you. That's colonizer talk.
Yeah. And then he goes to King's Landing and he builds King's Landing at the highest peak of the highest mountain. Strategically, just in case the White Walkers and stuff, if he come through, it just takes them a bit longer to get there.
Okay, extra question. Is Aemon the White Walker?
Aemon or Daemon?
Aemon, the
Aemon.
The eye patch.
Yeah.
No. It's a ruby.
Don't you think he gives White Walker?
He's iced out.
No. It was the end of the episode, yeah? When he had the...
The dagger.
Dagger. It was given White Walker.
Why?
I'm not sure. Just it was.
But
also, it's his face.
Is Aegon's dagger?
I hear it.
No, but like, it's his eye, right?
Because his eye. No, but his eye's blue. But also, is his demeanor? He just gives White Walker.
He's not White Walker. He's just a piece of shit.
Fair enough.
He's just a second son.
Fucking fantastic character.
Yeah.
But let's move on because we're gonna be here for fucking hours.
Yeah.
One of the parts of the episode that we really enjoyed spoke about yesterday with Biss. Is the small council scenes, just the small council scenes as a whole in the series and the universe are fantastic.
Yeah.
Because that's where you see a lot of like the politics and you see the interpersonal relationships between characters. And in this episode, we got to see how the small council really don't see anything in terms of a king in Aegon. And Aegon's sort of, his restless nature is really coming to the fore because he feels as though he's not respected. And the more he feels like he's not respected, the more he feels like he needs to go and gain people's respect.
Mm.
And the scene that stood out to me, and this, I'm sure you all loved it, is Aemon speaking High Valyrian to his brother.
Yes, doing it fluently.
Whilst his brother couldn't speak it back. It was beautiful. That was one of my favourite scenes.
War.
Yeah.
And it's the question mark that kills me every time. War?
It was like the smarmy, smart, smug way that Aemon did it to his brother, especially getting his revenge back for the previous episode in the brothel. Talk to me about your thoughts on this sort of brotherly dynamic and like between these two characters and how it's playing out so far.
I'm really enjoying the way that they're showcasing the difference between Aemond and
Aegon.
Just start again from I'm really yeah.
Yeah, I really appreciate how they showcase the difference between Aemond and Aegon. I'm not gonna go into the facts as to why Aemond is the way that it is, because I'm sure we're gonna have a whole segment talking about that. Yeah. But obviously Aegon, he's been the most privileged per se. I know Aemond is pretty privileged, but in terms of
highborns, isn't it? So
the highborns, firstborns, in terms of what they're expected to do without actually doing anything, and that also relates to the interaction that Aegon had with his mom, Alicent, and Aegon just assumed that, because you just wear a crown on your head, you expect people to
make
you the king. That's not the case. But Aemon had to work to be in a position that he is, because because he's the second son, he's not expected to literally have anything on, he's expected to be just...
And on top of that, like, Aegon has bullied him his entire kind of life.
Aemon has been getting bullied. Aemon's school shooter vibes. That's what probably makes me feel
I mean, that's what he's doing now. Exactly, he's shooting up schools, essentially.
He's two for two. He's a crazy guy. But I agree with you. I've really enjoyed this sort of brotherly sort of thing, and they've embedded it slowly across like season one and season two. Obviously, it's with the bullying, you see it with season three.
No, as in he's 3-4-3.
I get it. Yeah,
technically,
he's double three. Oh, yeah.
No, we don't know. Yeah, we don't know.
Oh, do you think he's dead?
No, I don't think he's dead. I think the dragon, surely.
Oh, I thought you meant.
No. I was talking about the dragons.
Right. Oh yeah,
he's got numbers on the board.
Oh, for dragon.
Yeah, for dragon, it's 3-3. Hat trick. Congratulations.
Yeah, for real. But the series is really doing well to show like this brotherly tiff, and I think we saw it in.
We couldn't a tiff.
It's just a word that came out, to be fair.
He was getting cuddled by some prostitute. It's crazy.
No. That's the only time we can find solace is with his big mommy. You have to let him live with his big mommy. It's okay.
Like, and the only reason he's like that is because he doesn't get that love from his mom.
Get Alicent's name out your mouth, for real.
No, but it's true though.
Also,
you were never going to do that with your mom anyway.
I know. But he's definitely like he has received no affection from a woman in his whole life. So he seeks that in the hall.
She was the first person who showed that to him when he was a kid. One of the scenes that really stood out to me was in season 1, episode 9, I believe. And it was when they were looking for Kristen Cole after the passing of the series.
The bitch ass nigga.
And they were at the... They were outside the brothel. And Aemon said, "It is I who reads philosophy and history. It is I who has the largest dragon. It is I who should be." And that was like, that was the first time we really saw him explain that he believes he should be king.
Mm.
But there's nothing he can really do about it. So what we saw in this episode was him exacting all of the sort of pent up feelings that he's been holding for quite some time.
But strategically, he didn't do in the whole of episode 4 and arguably 3 as well, right? He didn't have an outburst. And don't forget, we left season 1 with him having an outburst and not being able to control Vhagar. So we actually left him showing weakness, right? Whereas in the past 2 episodes, especially, even when he got embarrassed by his brother and da-da-da-da, even the King's Guard that saw him didn't laugh. They were shook, bro. They were so shook. And he's like there standing with his wiener out, yeah, okay.
Oh, in episode 3.
Yeah. And they're just like, shit.
Because he's still on smoke. He's still on smoke.
No, sorry. It kills me how the wiener point...
It's not that important.
Didn't add anything to the point. He just wanted to talk about his cock.
It's not just
he added nothing to what he wanted. You were, if it's Maxi, you were pudding. And he just added a pot.
He said wiener as well.
No. But now, we're seeing him at this stage now, okay, where like, oh, have we got to that point yet? Yeah, man, F it. Okay, like when like he tells Vhagar to like, yo, chill and wait, right? For me, that shows like restraint. It shows like he's now proving to us.
There's some tactical acumen to what he's doing.
But he's proving to us that I can control Vhagar now. Now we are one. No, but it makes him so much more dangerous now.
Okay. I think it shows the growth that he's had with Vhagar and the sort of learning of philosophy.
Which makes him more scarier.
But wait,
I think you saw it in season...
My question is, at the end of season 1... Okay, and I like the fact, again, Bissell is going to complain, but I like the fact in the books, they made it a lot more ambiguous in terms of whether it was done by accident or intentionally.
Right.
I'm not sold on the fact that it was because he couldn't control Vhagar
It was intentional. I don't care what anyone says.
It wasn't intentional, right?
That shit was intentional.
I thought it was intentional.
It was definitely intentional.
I don't think it was about lack of control.
It wasn't.
He saw an opportunity and he took it.
Bro, wait. Do you mean Luke?
Yeah, Luke.
Oh, you mean Luke?
Yeah, but obviously it ties into what we're just talking about now.
But he literally screamed. What was that? He was like,
"Vega, no, Vega, obey me."
No, I think he wanted. I think I agree
from him. If he's in that scene, if it's
screaming,
if it's bullshit in a sense,
it's like when I don't think.
Okay, so
but imagine that's like when someone stabs someone, yeah, and then they go, "Oh my gosh, I killed him." It's like, well, you literally did. You put a knife in someone's body.
No, but
and they
I think his reaction was more because of the fact of like, because I do think he was intentional about killing him, but it's more the realization of shit, I've actually done it.
Yeah, I think
of the consequences of his actions.
He knows he's done
like
it, but I think it was intentional. I don't care that it was an accident.
There's one thing that's often we talk about in terms of how dragon riders relate to the dragons, and in terms of they connect, sometimes they connect because the dragon understands the rider's will, and that's in terms of like also adds to how they fight. He wanted to kill Lucas.
He did.
So in terms of like, he intended to kill him, but I don't feel like he realized at the moment that he willed it.
He didn't grasp the actual consequences of what would happen. Like, he didn't clock
the
it.
The dragon just took over.
You have to remember as well the fact that Arrax attacked Vhagar, and then Vhagar got vexed, and Vhagar attacks back.
Yeah.
And
that speaks to at that time, the lack of control that he would have had.
But I feel like if Aemon didn't want to will it, he wouldn't have. I feel like he wanted to kill it. And I get it. I don't feel like he's smart enough to know hacked in that way was essentially like might start a war, because he's an intelligent guy.
And this is my issue, is that we can see that he's well read and all that good stuff. Like, he keeps telling us, and we also know this, yeah. You're telling me that wasn't a bit intentional, at least, even if you're like a bit of an accident, or whatever. But
there's definitely
hate. No, but the thing is, he set out. I feel like he set out to prove a point.
I don't think
he got surprised.
Kill is it?
No,
extreme.
I think because what else would happen when everyone's kind of told you already this dragon is not for you because it's too big. It belongs to someone else before. Blah blah, all that good stuff, and then now you're gonna do what? Run around and try and joke with your cousin or your nephew, like, whatever. You wanted to kill him.
Okay, let me do it. First example, yeah. So,
here we go.
It's a random Friday evening. There's a babes that you know, if she comes around, it might get cracking, but you know, it might be a bad idea. She comes around and you get a cracking. It's not that you initially intended it to happen.
Just happened.
But you wanted to.
Do you know what?
To.
A better example of that, yeah? A better example is that when you go and link a guy, yeah, and you're like, we're not going to do anything, but you still shave, yeah? Listen, your intention was to smash, but you're like, nothing's going to happen, man.
You brought condoms with you.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know exactly what was going to happen here.
It's true.
So, Eye Patch, he's just a bitch. I really hate Eye Patch.
He's the best character.
Guys,
easy.
Someone tell me, yeah, why the actor keeps pouting. It's pissing man off.
No,
okay?
The acting from my man.
He's probably one of the best.
Impeccable.
No, of course. Well, this is the same everything.
I love it. No, he's actually not. That's his lip. I mean, like,
if I was a bad bitch, yeah. I would love it.
That's okay. That one, dude.
Toby comes up right now. But massive quote in season one, by the way, from Viserys, okay, where he says to Rhaenyra, like, the myth that Targaryens control dragons is a mad myth, okay? He believed that, and it's also part of the reason why Viserys stopped riding his
and he did it once.
Huh?
And he did it once.
Yeah, because he didn't believe in, and bear in mind, he believed in everything, okay? He did not believe, okay, that dragons were controllable. He believed, okay, that dragons, they serve a rider, but they still serve themselves.
They're still animals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was like, the fact that we believe that our whole legacy is based off something that I believe we can't control for a very long time is crazy to me. Mm. You know, that's why he was building the whole thing about everyone, sleeping with everyone.
That's also, you know, when he spoke to Rhaenyra when she arrives back, the first episode of the series, and she jumps back off the dragon.
Yeah.
And he was like, where have you been? And she was like, oh, I was dragon riding. He tells her off it because he doesn't believe that they control dragons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think you make a...
Game of Thrones question. Does Daenerys have? She rides all three of those dragons, right?
So I read about this. Okay, not in the book.
Did he?
Just a fan theory. Okay, but it was like, George R. R. Martin. Okay, said that she actually doesn't have the will to control all three dragons, right? But because the dragon, what were they called? The dragon keepers or whatever. They raise the dragons until a certain age.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas she raised them from birth. Mm-hmm. So she has a different type of connection with these dragons. Now, once the main one, who was the main one again? Rhaegar.
Yeah, Drogon, Rhaegar, and Viserion.
Rhaegar. Okay. When Rhaegar got bigger than all of them, he got jealous because he was like, "Bruv, like, show me more attention. I'm."
She put him in the cave, isn't it?
In season three or four, he dips for like four episodes.
Yeah, and then he comes back and it's like, when they come to the High Council, basically, and it's like, oh, this is what he's been doing. And it's like bare dead bodies.
Yeah.
And then she puts him in the cave. That was a really sad moment.
No, it's after that. Okay. He dips. Like she lets him out. He flies away. Okay, he doesn't come back.
Do you know where he flies to?
Yes. To old
Valyrian,
yeah.
And that's when we see Tyrion. That's where Tyrion
and sees he's dragon. Yeah. He's like rah, wow. Da, da, da. But like the fact that he went away to look for his own. The theory is that he went away to go back to his home. To find another dragon rider because he was like, well, she's got two. Do you understand? So he went to find a partner. In theory, when he couldn't find no one, he came back and committed to her and showed his strength by saving her from the dragon's pit. Okay, and then that's obviously how. Yeah, he was like, yeah, cool.
Did you hear the theory that Tyrion was meant to be one of the dragon riders?
I did hear theory. Yeah, but I don't know how he would have got up there.
Okay.
What do you guys make of as the episode progressed?
That was actually funny though, but sorry.
As the episode progressed, we got to see Alicent trying to I think she was really trying to grapple with the understanding of, well, have I completely misunderstood this situation?
And this is my point, is that she doesn't know what she doesn't know until she doesn't.
No, I think when she has the conversation with the Grand Maester, she understands how much she fucked up because she asked the question, do you think this is what Viserys would have wanted in terms of, and he's like, I wouldn't know what he would have wanted in the last hours of his life. She knows that she fucked up, but then she mentions that the supporters of Aegon and the supporters of Rhaenyra are going to
believe what they
going to believe what they want. Mm. And that's true. And when she had a conversation with Rhaenyra in the sept or in the church
whatever,
thing,
yeah,
what it's called. And her realization is that, oh yeah, I did fuck up. But I think she also realizes that to this point that we got to, there's nothing that I can actually do. And it's true. What can she actually do?
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, she's too far in. Which is why she...
You go.
No, because I think...
Why do you guys keep doing this? It's really
sorry. I'm bad.
Just dips.
So, anyway...
you don't get to talk.
Why not? I'm pro this.
No, because she was doing this.
Oh.
anyway, moving on. So
it's crazy to see someone else do it.
No, because I do think because of kind of like the realization that she had, or like that she fucked up, like that's why you see her wavering a lot. And that's why I think, like, because of that, she was so straight with Aegon at that point, because she kind of like clocked on where she was like, Viserys did not mean this guy to be king. Like, he's a fucking clown. He's a fucking clown. Like, she didn't mean it. So that's why she kind of like, she poured herself a drink to give herself some of that liquid courage. And then
that was definitely because of the baby.
It was his disregard for the history.
True.
It was his complete disregard for history, especially when you consider the fact that her husband Viserys was someone that was so well read, understood philosophy and history, and Aegon completely
and the dad, for example, as well, because he also dismissed Otto as the Hand, which I still think is the, like, it's good that he got dismissed.
But he didn't
think,
do it for the reason.
But he
we
didn't. Yeah, yeah, exactly. He didn't he do did it for the reason.
He
like
was, he was pissed off, but he didn't do it because Otto was like a snake.
He did it because he's an idiot.
What I just realized that conversation that he had with Alison also highlights how much she doesn't know her own child. Because yes, I get it that he discarded all the books. And also she's clocking that you're definitely not meant to be king. And she says all these things. And then she says something on the lines of, yeah, I've been ruling while Viserys was sick for all this time. Yeah. So has Otto. And then he's like, Aegon's like, oh, so what would you have me do? He says,
nothing. Just sit there and be pretty.
And then what does he do right after? The complete opposite. Because you don't know your own son. And Aemon knows his brother. That's why Aemon had said what he said. He realized that Aegon was feeling a bit insecure. And talks to him in Valyrian so he doesn't embarrass him in front of the council.
But the thing is, the council
no, I think he did it to embarrass him.
No, it was a dickhead thing. But that's all he could do in that moment. Otherwise,
it's the least dickhead thing.
Yeah, it's the least he could do.
But wait, don't the whole High Council understand High Valyrian?
No!
They all look like they understood what you were saying.
They could feel what was going on in the room, but they didn't understand. He done as best as he can to smooth his ego as much as possible, but he understood, because he could have just easily said everything that he said in whatever language they speak.
If you notice, the only characters that speak High Valyrian is Rhaenyra, Daemon, and Aemon and Aegon, from what we've seen in the series so far.
No, Jaehaerys does as well.
He did with Rhaenyra, right?
Yeah, but
he's not great. He's struggling, right?
He's learning.
Yeah. In the first episode, in the last episode,
I think season one, he was learning.
He was learning.
Yeah.
But now he seems better, though. He seems.
Doesn't Daemon understand High Valyrian?
Oh yeah,
he does. He's the best.
Daemon speaks like nine languages, bro. Yeah. Italian, French, everything, bro. He's on it.
Yeah, but that scene just highlights the scene that Otto had with Aegon in terms of just cussing out his grandson, and then he reacts the way he do. Like Alison and Otto, you obviously don't flipping understand this child, because you wouldn't be talking to him like this, and he reacts the way that he reacts because you don't get him.
He's insecure.
Yeah, yeah. At least Aemon.
Underrated comedy.
Aemon
also well,
to manipulate him.
Underrated comedy.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
The scene between Otto, Cole, and Aegon.
The scene!
He said, Sir Eric.
To the bank, and he turns his head.
And he goes, yeah! Now, I feel like in that moment, like, honestly, in that moment, like, what's the actor's name? Is it Reese Ifans? Reese Ifans?
He's so good.
Bro. He's so good. The way he was just like, am I hearing right? Am I hearing correct? Bro. What's going on?
But I also think that speaks to the strengths and the weaknesses of Criston Cole, why he's not really a Hand of the King, but he's a great warrior and he's a great tactician.
Great warrior.
Because we saw the plan.
Yo, the plan was fantastic. In hindsight, the plan was fantastic.
Yeah. I've been hating that nigga for ages, but this episode...
This episode...
Still want him to die, though.
I need him to have the nastiest death.
He was cold.
No, he was.
He was Criston Cole.
Yeah, fair. Yeah.
Okay, no, don't do that. Don't say fair.
He got me. So, the plan was great, though.
Give flowers when they need to be given.
Guys, that was meaty.
Which one?
She said you're Criston Cole. I liked it, but
yeah, so that.
Make that cut.
That's not me.
It's not enough.
Yeah, don't we have resources on that moment?
But yeah, Criston Cole really stepped to the fore in this episode. The plan, but I think also them two planning behind his back again just speaks to the fact they just don't respect him.
The cinematography, by the way, okay, of when he cut the guy's
head off,
and then walks on the bridge, and then everyone's and the smoke,
Kingmaker.
Okay, I was like, yo, do I like him now? I was fuming. I was like, no, this guy was crying like the biggest bitch in season one, crying. I slept with the queen, with the queen to be. I'm such a my.
Now I couldn't. My, I couldn't. Season, I, couldn't one, I couldn't take him serious.
Episode one,
in
season
the
two,
last
bro,
episode
was bouncing on what, everything.
Episode three.
No. As in our last pod episode when we spoke about House of Dragons for a little bit, like Abyss, when he fucked his way to the top, and I couldn't respect him anymore after that. And I was just like
he
when
fuck
I
his way to the top.
He did.
Yeah, no. But when I saw that,
well, he's not game though.
But he's also a very skilled warrior.
Yeah. The issue is that he loves powerful women, but hates that they've got power.
Yeah, that's like me for real.
Powerful women.
I didn't hear the second part.
Just take it back.
Okay. I'll roll it back.
That's not a waste of resources.
You love powerful women, but you hate the fact that they have power.
No.
Okay. That's what
I
said.
Just the process as well.
No.
Let's put the rum down and say, guys.
Can we just talk about like coal for family? Yeah.
No, definitely, that will definitely get caught.
bring it back. Just with Cole, yeah, okay. Like, do you know, like,
are you gonna be serious?
Yeah.
Okay, just
yeah. Like, even in the battle scene, okay, where we see him like be super like super serious, okay, super like straightforward, okay, he's winning, okay, he's tactical and strong and blah blah blah. He's definitely not strong.
Sorry, I had to.
I get it. But even after all of that, okay, he still shows this kind of weird oath, like as if like he was so upset that thingy fell, Aegon fell, so upset that he was like, oh my god, like that's my king, like, well, like, and then chasing him, he was the only, by the way, he was the only Don going
back to the king,
right? But it confused me because it's like you're just creating more conflict in yourself, because what are you doing? Are you picking and choosing which, like,
I think he's like very naive.
Yeah, he has his own sick sense of honor and justice.
Exactly.
But what I do really, and what I'm really looking forward to is the fact that Cole walked in, or he saw Aemon draw for his sword.
Yeah.
So I wonder how that's going to affect the dynamic going forward. Because I don't know if he's going to perceive it as a fact of, oh, you've killed, or you're trying to kill the king, because obviously we don't 100% know what's happened to him. So I'm actually looking forward to see how that impacts the dynamic.
He didn't look that burnt either. The king didn't really look that burnt.
Interesting.
Did he look burnt to you?
Yeah.
Okay, I was just saying, for me.
Before the big battle, though, we had the scene with Jace and Rhaenyra, which I think was one of and that scene was off the back of the scene with Alicent and Aegon, which shows the difference in parenting. Again, it's not to like, it's essentially showing you like the trickle down effect of good parenting compared to bad. And I think we see that in those two scenes where she speaks to Jace, and Jace is vexed. So she put him down a bit in the council. She told him, like, you can't, so don't speak to me like that.
No, but it's real, because no, how dare, like, you, I walk in and you say, where have you been? You might be my son and like powerful, but I'm still your mother. Have some fucking respect, bro.
But even the way that she did it, bro.
Yeah, in private, she was like, listen, basically, I think she kind of accepted that Rhaenys is going to die. So basically, a dragon rider is going to have to die for this battle, yeah? And she's like, it can't be another son. Like, I can't.
And he needs to understand that his power and the lineage of the Targaryens
he's
is so much more
beat.
Important than this, like, one battle or one situation.
And the odds were, even if it's 20%, odds that Rhaenys would survive are higher than anyone else in that room.
She's the most battle experienced.
Bro, shout out,
they said
Maelys, shout out to you. I love you, man.
Maelys is the second oldest dragon.
She's like, she's been Maelys attack. Yeah,
been there, fam.
Did we speak about this yesterday?
Yeah, briefly. But the scene
it was
before, the scene before when they were talking before she left. And what did she say to Maelys?
She said to her,
"Yeah, we're going back in so many. Yeah, we've been through so many things." And you know, it was a parallel between Aegon get on his dragon, just drunk as hell, and Sunflower's I think the relationship's quite cute. This is child's play. It's child's play versus like Rhaenys getting on Maelys and being like, we're going back into battle, we're going to do this one more time. It's one more time.
That when she got towards the battle, right? Maelys kind of like looks left at her, right? And they look at each other and they almost tell each other, this is probably like our last ride. This is like insanity, right? And then they beef, cool.
Hey, you can't overlook that battle.
No, wait. Beef.
No. I know what
we'll
it's
going to be. Yeah. Okay. But then like when she's now going away and she's like, we can go now, right? And when she turns around, I was like,
when she turned around, I knew it was over.
Why do you think she turned around?
I think she turned around, okay, for two reasons, okay. The first reason, I think this is a mad theory, okay, but I think it's because with all of the death that's happened and everything, I think that she regrets not burning up everybody in the wherever the
crowd in Ovegon.
Yeah. I think that she, because her excuse out of time was poor. So I think that she was like,
That thousands of lives would have been gone if she had. Mm-hmm.
Her excuse was that it wasn't her war to start.
Right.
Where it's like, bro, you are in the middle of this thing now, and she's realizing that. Okay, and I think she realizes it when Rhaenyra is not at the council, and she says to the council, I'm trying to hold this together. Do you know what I mean? Okay, and I was like, right, okay, cool. Now she understands the responsibility that she had, but maybe at the time she didn't see it.
But the tipping points were different at the time, right? If you compare, Lyserys hadn't gone, Jaehaerys hadn't gone.
Of course, the second thing was what'd you call it? It was the whole like I think it was like she was going into it with the mindset of do or die, like this is it, like this is my.
I feel like she accepted that that was her death. Yeah, that's also when she's talking to Maelys, it did feel very final. It felt very like
when she clutched in.
Yeah, she's like, listen, it's gonna be like
beforehand, you mean?
Yeah, like we're literally gonna lock in and do this. It felt like my old friend, like this is our last time doing this.
Yeah. Whereas old girl.
Anyone was just like,
Nah, hey, you want to
go, like, go for a ride, bestie? Like,
the entire episode felt like a very final moment for Rhaenys. Because, like, even when she spoke to Alan.
Yeah, Alan.
Like, and when she clocks, like, oh, that's Collis's bastard son. And then, like, no, I meant that in a literal way.
You're not wrong.
And then, like, but she instead of, like, I mean, she kind of, like, clocks in a sense of, like, okay, cool, that's just what royal man do and whatnot. But, like, she even kind of, like, she touches his cheek. She's very motherly, and she's like, yeah, oh, yeah, like, your mum must have been beautiful. And I thought it was, like, wow, like, and it, when Collis does come in and stuff like that, like, she doesn't have that rightful anger that she should have had.
There's no resentment.
It's like, it's kind of like she's resigned to the fact that
she's dying.
But that's what,
almost. That's my point. That's why I think, like, throughout the entire episode, it just felt like all the death flags were on her, and it was just written so beautifully that when she did speak up about, like, okay, cool, I'm going to go into the battle because I'm the most experienced. You can't go because you're the queen consort.
Rhaenyra wanted to go, and we're like, you're the queen, but we're doing all this for you.
Yeah, we're doing all this for you.
Crazy.
What I really appreciate is the fact that Rhaenys was the one that essentially told Rhaenyra that you need to find another way to stop this war before it actually gets to...
And she tried.
And obviously when she came back, because, like, I've did all I can. At that point, Rhaenys was like, come on.
Yeah, you
took my advice.
Yeah.
You tried.
And obviously now war is inevitable. And I think the main reason why she ended up going back for Vagos, I think she went back for Vagos specifically.
Yeah.
Because she knew.
She understands.
Some damage on
Vagos. Yeah. Because I think she knew, like, shout out Melis, but she knew that you're not going to take down Vhagar, but we can try to do as much damage as possible so then the rest can...
That's why there was so much clawing of this Vhagar. Like,
yeah,
and also being like, attack Vhagar. And making it so clear, like, we just need to attack Vhagar. It's just...
Yeah, forget Aemon, because Vhagar is, like, the reason what might make the Greens win this war. So I don't know how much of an impact it will have in the rest of the seasons, but I really, really do hope that they do... if not mention it, but make it quite obvious that these cars have had an effect on Vhagar, because then it'll just feel like it was all done for nothing. And not because that's bad writing, it's just like, it's just a shame on Rhaenyra's head, because I do appreciate what she's done. Shout out to Eve Best, she's done an amazing job. That's what I'm hoping for.
Oh, there was one point, so, like, I don't ever deep how big Vhagar actually is until...
He's the son of a dragon.
Yeah, but it's like, because we saw it first with Lucerys in season one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, that's like a big dragon. It's like, oh my goodness, that's that dragon. Yeah, and then you see again this episode when it's like the bird's eye shot where they're kind of going head on, and it's like, oh my goodness, why are you even going to try and battle that? But I think the clawing at the stomach, and even like when Sunflower like eventually dies, and that all the guts spill onto the ground and stuff, we actually get to see the real aftermath of a dragon fight and not just like dragon down, goodbye. We're actually watching the death of like the biggest warriors in the battle, because dragons are—they're the biggest chess pieces, because they also—they're so little of them. Like, you can't. Not everyone has a dragon. Not everyone's a dragon rider. There aren't enough dragons. And once dragons gone, they're gone.
They're gone. Yeah.
I think the tragic part of it as well is the fact that Vhagar was the dragon of her daughter. That's and then obviously I think before Laenor had Vhagar, and before Rhaenys had Melis, Vhagar and Melis were like essentially best friends. They used to ride around. Sort of King's Landing and so on and so forth, around the Seven Kingdoms together. So it's like, it's a tragic story of how this divide is just like, not just dividing the Targaryens and the Hightowers, it's like dividing dragons as well, which is like mad.
And I know we haven't really touched on it, but also, obviously we go back to, what's the name? Rob's brother, Stellion.
Stannis.
Oh, Stannis Baratheon.
And his daughter, when they were talking about, oh, what was the Dance of the Dragons? And then I think he says something along the lines of, oh, brothers fought brothers, dragons fought dragons. And obviously, when you're talking about brothers fighting brothers, it's not just about the Targaryens fighting each other, but it's also the common folk. Mm-hmm. And I know a few people have talked about in terms of like, oh, we only see the aftermath of battles. We're not necessarily seeing the actual battle itself. Bro, I couldn't care less.
Honestly, I couldn't care less.
Who wants to see the Brackens and the Blackwoods really?
Bro, like, bro.
Yeah, like,
I'm glad they snapped past it.
Yeah. It was
and
so unnecessary.
And what I really appreciate is the fact that it shows how impactful and how big this war actually is. It's not just about...
It's beyond the Targaryens.
Beyond the Targaryens. It's not just about the Greens and the Black. It's about the whole kingdom and how much it affects them. And obviously we get like little scenes from the guy that went to Aegon. I think it was like in episode one in terms of like... And then we see him back with his wife saying that, oh, this war is affecting me. It's affecting the sickness of a I think it was the child. And even... So just to relate it back to seeing the scene of the Blackwoods versus the Brackets. It's like, bro, like that is impactful enough for me to see that how much this war is affecting everything else. We don't need to spend so much time with these characters because I don't care about them.
And the pettiness of war, right? It kind of mirrored the pettiness of the Targaryen war in a sense of the Blackwoods because they've been fighting for years and years and years.
Thousands.
To the point where they don't even realise and understand why we're fighting anymore, why we have an issue. We're just doing it because history tells us we should.
Yeah.
And I feel as though that's essentially what they're alluding to, what could happen and will happen with the Targaryens.
I think, I might be wrong. I'm sure Alison said it. I might be wrong. I'm pretty sure she said it. It said it's going to get to the point that people are going to forget what they're fighting over.
Oh, that's Rhaenys was saying it. Because she was like, because I think Rhaenyra was kind of being like, it's because of my crown, that's the reason there.
Yeah,
and then
Rhaenys
was like, well, before that, it was me. But she was like, also was like, it could have been me they were fighting for as well because I deserve the crown and not you. I think everyone being like, basically, your point's right. I'm just going on a random tangent for no reason.
I knew he was going with that one. So
you gave the context that I didn't have.
Yeah, no, we're working together. What did you guys, before we maybe look to wrap up, I really enjoyed the battle itself, and I think one of the great things about it was like a visceral experience of like different perspectives of this battle. So like we got to see it from the castle perspective and those what sort of higher up vantage. We got to see it from the dragon riders perspective, whether it was Aemond, Aegon or Rhaenys, the dragons and that dragons actually intertwining and sort of like dancing together, dance of the dragons naturally. Yeah. And then we got the on the ground perspective. It's like a multiple perspective of this sort of engrossing fight. I really, really enjoyed it, man. But
I think the most interesting part about the battle was seeing how it affected the soldiers on the ground.
Yeah.
Especially like, when the dragon dropped.
When the dragon dropped in terms of like just stepping on them because and that was his people he was stepping on, the people that were fighting with him, and just shows that how destructive dragon power is. And even with when Christian Cole wakes up from getting kicked off the horse and then he goes over to another soldier that looks like he's down, in terms of like, we need to go get the king, but the person's already burnt to ash. And just shows that when dragons fight, it literally destroys everything. And even before that, when we see Rhaenyra's come for the first time, and then Christian Cole, let me send the signal, and then Alicent's brother asks, what does the signal mean? And he says, the signal means that everything's about to burn in terms of like what two dragons could potentially do. So I really appreciate the perspective of what the soldiers were looking at.
You see how he left the soldiers behind the tree line, and then the previous town that they conquered, all of those soldiers he let go first.
Yeah,
it was all like pawns, just go.
Mm-hmm. It kind of like speaks to the strategic mind of Cole as well earlier, like if we're still going to praise that anyway, if he's going to praise
you
him,
you can praise it.
He's got a good brain on him.
That's
a hush joke as well.
I know what I meant.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
That was
Alison.
It's one of the reasons why she can't go with him in the first place.
She was going crazy, bro. Like,
I didn't know Cook could cook.
Yeah. She was going nuts. Like, yo.
You guys are really dumb.
Don't do that again, man.
I look him in the eye as well. That's crazy.
Don't do that again.
Do you know who's not dumb and very knowledgeable? I'm Christian Cole.
What did you have to do?
He was proper.
And it'll carry on before he starts saying,
no, but
what'd you say?
He was proper.
It's proper. He was proper doing
it. They don't want us to say it like that.
Christian Cole. he is kind of like a very tactical mind and kind of like how smart he is. And I think Otto even said it like in that one kind of like scene with him and Aegon and stuff, where he was like, yo, you were born kind of like from steel, like war is all you know. And you see him in a war and you can really see like his talent kind of like come to shine, but then you kind of like see how his plan messes up because he didn't take into account that Aegon.
I think the only reason he planned messed up because Aegon's a fucking idiot.
Well, that's the thing. Okay, I can't put that on him because you can never account for that. But I just think that like it's just a good touch in terms of like character building because he's such a bastard and we hate him, but then at the same time, it's just like, fair enough. Like, there's a reason
they've
why.
Given, they've shown like a strength of his, which is.
Yeah, really exactly. And it doesn't feel forced. It doesn't feel cheesy or anything like that. It feels very organic. And
you spoke about it at the end of the episode. I think it was Manny, actually. We alluded to the scene between Egon and Aemond, where it looked as though Aemond was going to finish his brother. He's going to off his brother. What do you make of the way the series has built into that final scene where it looks like he was going to do so?
Should have offed him.
Yo, I've been saying this for ages.
And Crystal Cole comes in and sort of stops it from happening.
I think Eyepatch was going to off his brother from the get-go.
Yeah.
He just has it in him. And it's not even like a second child situation. He's
bullied his entire life.
But also,
sense.
I think he's also a piece of shit.
No, he is.
I think that aside, like, even the bullying aside, I feel like he could have been treated perfectly. But the significant... He just looks like an arsehole. That's why I think he's a right one.
I think the series has intentionally planted seeds of showing us... Not the series. It's obviously off the books as well. But I think they've intentionally shown us somewhere like his strifes in life. I know he's highborn, so what kind of strife do you really have?
Yeah. I think that's what it is. I'm just like, I can't take you seriously as like a troubled child. Like, Silver Spoon kids, like, fuck off.
I think the theme or notions of the second child or the second son
throughout the universe.
Throughout the whole Game of Thrones, the whole Ice and Fire universe.
Is Tyrion the second
son? Tyrion is
the second son. Because the siblings are twins, isn't it?
Tyrion's second son. The Hound is the second son. Who's the second son?
Rob.
Rob's not second son.
Rob's the oldest.
Rob Stark is the oldest, and
John technically in the technicality, and then Bran.
Bran will be the second son.
But he's a Raven though.
Where was you going?
But yeah, where I was going is that throughout the whole universe that George R. R. as Martin has created, is that there is a consistent theme in terms of the second son, and I think the theme is mostly ambition that they have with Aemon, with Daemon, and validation. Because the second son, and there's even like a whole fleet called the Second Sons, and that's the fleet that goes and attacks and kills one of the dragons in season 7 or season 8 of Game of Thrones. I can't remember which season it was, but the whole Second Sons thing, it is a thing within Game of Thrones. There is something that's thematically consistent in terms of ambition, in terms of envy, in terms of like wanting to so close to having a crown, but being told your whole life that you're never going to get it. You don't actually have a place in this world because you were just born a bit too late.
It's kind of like Harry. Prince Harry. He's got like his books called Spare.
You think he's got
it's about Aaron and Spare. Probably did at a point. I think he's kind of passed it now.
Possibly, yeah.
But like the whole like Aaron and Spare situation.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
You are once upon a time, you're second to the throne because that's the reason you're there. You're eventually meant to be the Spare.
Yeah.
Then... your brother obviously lives and then goes, I'm going to build a family and I'm going to do that. And then, now
and then
you go
all
from,
of a sudden you're third.
Now you're third, but now you're fourth. And then you're like...
It's not my third. You're like fifth, seventh,
eighth. Yeah, no,
and then,
point,
and then suddenly you go from being like third to like 12th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not considered as important as you once was. Like, essentially your existence has become lesser just because of where you were born. And again, there's, and I know you want to touch on this as well, but the parallels between Aemon and Daemon is quite evident throughout the show.
God, yeah, of course.
They're exactly the same.
I don't know if we have the time today, just car. Do we have the time?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Another time, maybe do this.
I think I want to do it at the end because I want to see how their battle goes.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to get it this season.
I think it'll be the season, though, and it won't be the season.
But their battle's going to be so good.
How do you think they're going to have a battle?
Because I think it feels foreshadowed when he's walking around. Obviously, he's fighting his demons, and one of his demons are Aemon.
Yeah.
But like, they're exactly the same.
Yeah,
they're the second born, who's quote unquote thinks they're smarter than the first born. Thinks they're more powerful. I don't know if he is more powerful.
Not in Daemon's case. I don't think
not powerful, but smarter.
Do you think Daemon's smarter than Viserys?
In a sense, in one aspect,
he's more
smart.
Red. But I feel like you have to be like. You're compensating for the fact that you can't be king.
Yeah, but I think that's the thing about second sons. They're all compensating for the fact that they're not first sons.
But then would you say they're still better than the first son? I think Aemon and Aegon.
I think Aemon and Daemon are definitely smarter.
I think Viserys is smarter than Daemon.
I think he's emotionally smarter.
I think he's smarter, but they don't think he's smart because he's not willing to go to battle because... But I think that's because he's smarter.
It's not just that. And again, shout out to Viserys for having so much peace for so long. But this whole situation... could have been avoided if we're smarter. I don't think the situation that we're having now would have happened if Daemon was king.
No, I think I think it would be 20 times worse because Daemon would have been like, I think Daemon's more like, he's just, His guns are blazed. Like, he doesn't think as much. Whereas Viserys is like...
No, I disagree. I feel like Damon... I think the only thing that... The biggest issue that Damon has is that he has a strife in terms of, like, he feels like he should be king. The same way that Aemon feels like he should be king. And I think that's the biggest issue, and that will essentially be the downfall, I feel like. But however... Sorry. But no, however, feel like... If they were in a position of actually being king, and they were as smart, because obviously different. Like, for example, if Viserys died or Aegon died, and they each would have been king, I think they would have been better kings than the counterpart. And I get it that Viserys had peace, but the reason he has so much peace is because
he's very avoidant.
Yeah, there was nothing that he had to necessarily go against.
He avoided all sorts of conflicts.
All sorts of conflicts.
Which is did he though? Because like he actually. No, okay, yeah, if we're talking about in a battle sense, right? But, like, he did cause some controversy by naming Rhaenyra's his...
It's only because he had no option, and essentially that was the daughter of the woman he loved the most.
And,
he lost his wife because of that.
And that's all fine and dandy, respectfully, but he should have followed through with that. If you were contemplating...
It was hard-fighted.
It was. And again, I feel like Damon would have foreshadowed this. He would have seen that if I keep leaving this hanging for it to be decided after that, or not to be like more vocal about it, this issue would have happened. And I feel like Damon or Aemon would have said, boom, Aegon's going to be the heir. Like, I generally think the Blood would have picked Aegon.
The one difference that the showrunner, and I was doing some research on Damon, the showrunner said that Damon is a character that needs to feel needed and validated. Yeah. So he doesn't necessarily fully want the throne for himself. But he wants the person that wants the throne to want the throne as they should. And he wants to be the person, so with Viserys, he wanted to be Viserys' hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he wasn't given the opportunity. Instead, I think he became...
I think he deserved it, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. From a perspective of a warrior, hands down, so.
Yeah.
And then we see it passed down to his behaviour with Rhaenyra. He wants Rhaenyra to really go and grasp this throne, as he would do.
Yeah.
Not that he actually wants it. Oh, part of him probably does, but it's not like he fully wants it for himself. And I think that's what he's balancing right now. He's balancing the fact that he wants the throne, but at the same time, he can't usurp his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think two things just to add to that is that, one, I think it was fine and dandy with Rhaenyra's essentially being the lead until Luke died, and she essentially became weak. Obviously, she was grieving.
She became a mother.
And she was grieving.
And that's something he didn't think, because that's the difference between her and Alicent, is that Alicent, she grieved, but she kind of saw that grief is weakness. We have to move on. What's the next move here?
Right.
I think when she walked past her son crying, it was like, King, you'll get it soon. But yeah. We can't. Niggas get shot every day, B. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, and that's kind of the vibe.
You tough, right?
Damon, he couldn't accept that from Rhaenyra's. And I think that's where the conflict came from in terms of, like...
Her name is Rhaenyra. You need to get this right.
Rhaenyra, sorry. In terms of apologies.
I can't lie. I was like, I ain't got no more.
Rhaenyra. You can't talk. How dare you? But in terms of... That was the conflict between him and Rhaenyra. And now, I feel like, obviously, he's conflicted in terms... And I feel like all these demons that are following Damon is because he's struggling to just accept to be the person that he's meant to be. And this is what I'm enjoying, the Aaron Hall arc for Damon.
Yeah.
Because essentially him trying to get all these demons and all this trauma out so he can eventually, what I feel like the next episode will be, him finally riding out for his time, properly.
Probably since the Stepstones.
Yeah, but yeah, looking forward to it.
Question, because we ain't got time for games today. Question for everyone is, give me your favourite moment or aspect of season 4 so far, and then give me your top 3 characters.
Episode 4.
Be quick, please.
Season 2, 1 to 4. Yeah. Apologies, my bad. So give me your top moment or aspect of season 2, 1 to 4, and your top 3 characters. Manny?
The first one I can think of was the interaction that Otto had with Alison in terms of like... Or she was looking for comfort. He didn't give it to her. Then Alicent goes into Aegon's room. Then he sees him crying, but doesn't console him. So just the interaction, just showcasing how bad parenting is from generation to generation, how it affects children after children. But yeah.
And your top 3 characters?
Off the top of my head, Aemon. Shout out to my guy. Yeah, I think he's my favourite.
Cool.
Jax. Jacaerys?
Jacaerys. Number 2?
Yeah, let me go number 2. And I would say Baylor, number 3 so far this season. Same. Yeah.
Okay.
Baylor.
Diverse, I like it. Yeah. Hossam, give me your favourite aspect of episode 1 to 4 so far, and then your ranking.
Favorite aspect slash moment, right?
Yeah.
Moment, aspect.
Favorite aspect moment would be... sorry. God damn it. Come back to me.
Cool. Okay. Give me... Oh, yeah. Sorry, you go, actually.
Okay. My favorite moment was Bela flying over.
For Christian Cole.
For Christian Cole. I think it... Don't need to really explain it, but I think it's just... It's a great scene for many reasons. It shows her strength.
For her, man.
Yeah, there's more to her than we've kind of been seeing.
I believed.
Think, yeah. She's... Basically, she got more on the tuck. That's when I realised she's my goat. So she's my favourite character. So it's Bela, and then it goes Rhaenyra.
Buy your Bela stocks now.
No, for real, man. And then, what's the son's name again? Jax?
Jacerys.
Jacerys. There's something coming, but Bela's going to live to the promised land. She's going to make
a play. Bela the Brave, yeah.
Bela the Brave, for real.
Jace?
Yeah. Do you know what? Just for its underrated comedy, I think the three-way discussion between Otto, Aegon, and
Brilliant.
Sokol, I think it's just so funny. That's been my favorite moment so far. As for, I think we all got the same characters.
Yeah.
Aemond.
No, we didn't. Don't say that.
No?
Why would it be Aemond? God forbid.
Wait, who was your third? So Bela, Jason, Cherries, and who?
I'm team black through and through. I'm not dabbling into the green side. I ain't a bitch.
Aemon, no, I don't like Aemon because I like Aemon. I like Aemon for the Dad, character.
You need to stop doing this. The writing's fantastic the whole season, but the people, imagine they're real life people. Who do you like the most?
Cool.
Jace, answer it how you
want. Anyway, Aemon is still like, just for a character, like...
She tried to manipulate you.
Yeah, tried to.
I'm doing this to everyone, by the way.
Aemon, Jacerys, I think his character arc is going to be really, really good. And then, yeah, Bela. I'm buying the Bela stocks.
You're good. Buying them early.
I'm telling you, everyone.
Early,
get
early.
Your Bela stocks in. All right, on to you.
That's cool. You can go to the host. That's cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Go. Favorite moment for me is probably just after Blood and Cheese, Son for Son, where Rhaenyra and Daemon have that crazy conversation where he like chucks her out on that, you know what I mean? And he Evan she basically like says to him, like,
does he?
Yeah,
he does. Okay.
Evan he's like, yo, she goes, am I your queen? Like am I? And he just doesn't really answer. He's just like, bruv. You know what I mean?
But
like
that whole conversation
was because I was like, please just allow it, brother. Like,
I think he's someone that good. He can't say it, he'd rather show it.
Yeah. And then he just dips.
Do you know what I really love about the scene before that, the scene in the council with Emma Darcy's character?
Emma Darcy.
Rhaenyra.
Yeah.
Say that. I would never do that. No one here would ever do such a thing.
Yeah. He's so. Yo. Bro, it's an underrated comedy. That's what I'm saying. It's so funny. He's just like. He's so fucking cheeky. He's so cheeky, man. He's just like.
She's also like, why would you even assume one of us would do this?
How
dare you?
I feel like she's slowly processing it. Yeah. Ever since he's David in the corner, oh, you fucking bitch.
But yeah,
that's so fucking funny.
Guys, what's your moment?
Wait, he hasn't finished.
Oh, you're not done. So sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. Top tier scene. And then the three characters I'm going to go with. Number one, I'm going with Aemond.
On to the next person, please. This is
number two.
No, let
I'm going Bela because I believe she's gonna be my goat.
Take Bela out his name out of your mouth, man. After you got Aemond in there.
Shout out to Bales. And then number three is Rhaenys.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Fair.
But she's gone now. Like, it's kind of tough.
Fair.
Rhaenys is a goat, man.
Fair. I want to take my guy out.
Do it.
What? Aemond.
Yeah.
Jace Aemond. Or
Aemond? No, not Aemond. Aemond's thick. Bro, I can't lie to you. You can hate Aemond all you want.
I'm actually starting to hate that black.
He's got to stop pouting. It's pissing me off.
Like, if Aemond was in a black team,
he'd be peak.
Oh, it's different because I'm team black. He's an op. I don't fuck with an op, bro.
Why are you wearing green, then?
He's wearing green, punk bitch.
I'm glad that you looked to yourself.
That's funny, that, honestly. That.
Favourite moment was in episode 4, where the small council scene of... Aemond speaking High Valyrian to his brother, knowing that his brother isn't capable, his brother doesn't care about learning about Targaryen lineage and Targaryen lore, where it's something that he's had to overcompensate, which we spoke about, and dive into the philosophy and the law and the history. Really appreciate that. And it's also, as you said, it was like a duality of embarrassing his brother, but also protecting him at the same time.
Yeah.
So I think it was beautifully done. So three characters. Third, I will go with Otto. Just because
the groomer, sorry.
Yeah, I know it's bad. That scene alone in episode two.
Two, yeah.
Great so comedy.
Good. Isn't your top three in season two alone?
Off the dome, I'm going with Otto.
Okay.
Yeah. Number two is Rhaenys. Incredible, as we said, like her just being a support network for Rhaenyra in a time where she can also relate to what Rhaenyra is going through in a sense, because she got usurped for the crown because Viserys is a man, misogyny, naturally, which is going to be the destruction of the world, literally. So, and then number one is Aemon. Great character, great writing, great.
Hey, it's not even in your top three. Yeah, Punkcast top three,
yeah,
man.
Not my top three. We ain't seen enough of her. She's been great though.
We ain't seen enough of Otto this season.
His name's Otto, man.
We ain't seen tons of him this season.
Otto has had good monologues though.
But this season, not enough of him.
When he was shouting at the king, yeah, at the end of every sentence, okay, he'd use mad words. So he'd be like, "How can you do that? Folly." And he'd be like, "How can you blah, 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 crossed?" I'm like, bro, he just saying random words. Like,
I say, you know, he's mad as fuck. He was pissed. You know when you're like so pissed, you just can't get your words out.
That PR move he pulled was almost like spot on. It was perfectly worked. And then
it was fantastic PR. And
Egon went to hang everyone for no reason.
It speaks to him overcompensating because he feels like he needs to show he's the king. But yeah, we've really enjoyed House of the Dragon.
I have to add that scene that you just mentioned, that are you overcompensating to show there's the king, remind me of Joffrey.
Yeah, I am the king.
And yeah, I am the king.
Like, if you're a king, you don't have to say you're a king.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I actually remember that scene. I do want to say that.
Go away.
I do.
I'm on the side, but go away.
I'm fine.
We are definitely going to be back with like a season review when the series is done.
Sure.
It's 24 hours long.
Yeah, for real. It's going to be, there's 4 episodes left, so we're really excited for that. If you've got screeners, send them to us, man. Send them some early screeners, man. I'm saying.
Yeah,
I want to.
Oh.
That's not going to work.
Fuck that, man.
No.
But also send us things.
Like, send us things. Also send us, like, messages. Like, respond on Spotify. If you're listening on Spotify, like, comment, ask us questions.
Yeah.
Also send over some, like, your own reviews. And whatever you're watching, let us know so we can watch it as well. We're a community and we want to hear from you guys also. Like, comment, share, subscribe, tell everyone. Oh my goodness, we have a live show coming up. Okay, the 28th of July.
Yep.
We are gracing you guys in our full glory.
Yep.
I will be there, so all that really matters. It's free. So all you need to do is look in our bio, also go on our Instagram, at Post Credit Scene Podcast. It's all there for you. Come down, bring a friend, bring someone else. We're going to have a great time. We're talking everything. And we're going to have, I think it's a 1.5-hour in-depth conversation about Legally Blonde. So we're going to have so much fun. Basically, it's been a great time. And you can talk to us as well. And we want to hear your reviews also. Like, it's not all about us. It's a community here. We want to hear what you think. And how.
Free food, guys. Free drinks.
That's, so they get free food, then we don't.
Do you know what I mean? Open up!
Wait,
free out of the bank account, man. Like, do you know what? We're ending this now. Thank you. Wrap this up for us because we got a meal on him. He's buying us dinner. So let's go.
No, it's been a great episode. As Basola said, make sure you like, share, subscribe. You know the vibes. Post Credit Scene Podcast. 14 HQ original lovers of film, TV, and theatre. Over and out.
Hi, I'm Donald Glover, and you are watching or listening to.